Hello and welcome to the Odd Couple Podcast. This is Siddharth here.
And I'm Dr. Sheesh.
So today with us, we have a very special guest, Mr. Pani Reddy. Pani graduated from Computer Science Engineering back in 2004 and went on to do his master's in Australia, and that is where he found his calling in brewing beers. He bought back all what he learned there and started his first microbrewery in Bangalore back in 2014. As a true veteran, he has helped start over 4 breweries in Bangalore. Join us as we get to know more about him and his passion for brewing. Welcome to the Odd Couple Podcast, Pani.
Thank you for having me here in your show. It's wonderful, it's a little exciting and a bit nervous as well. So let's see how we go.
Well, what can I say, Pani? This is like, you know, something which is very close to our heart.
And liver.
That I know of, yeah.
So I mean, I think back in the day when me and Sid were in college, we were fascinated by this idea of, you know, microbrewing and, you know, brewing beers and stuff like that. But we didn't have the YouTube in all those days, right? So yeah, there was nothing really, I mean, and we were not really like, you know, chemistry or physics guys, you know, we weren't those kind of guys either. So we had no real background in it, but the passion was always there, but there was no real direction. So if not, we would have been brewing, you know, before you even started. But
well, I should say, I did not know about or even think of how the beers are made or how the alcohol is made. I never thought about it. I was always passionate about drinking.
Oh.
So I was always happy to have a couple of beers or a few drinks here and there. I mean, my attitude is simple. Never say no to alcohol.
Yeah, so you have that in common with us, you know, I think.
Yeah.
So what better reason to bring us together, right?
That's perfect. So only when I went to Australia, only when I saw the varied varieties of spirits, not just beer, just spirits, that is when I started thinking about, okay, what is it? How is it made? Because you can have n number of things, literally. Warehouse full of spirits, literally. One big warehouse, like a DMart sort of thing, only for liquor. And I used to just lose myself in the aisles, just reading about what is on those bottles. And the rich history on each and every spirit, how the founder of one spirit, let's say XYZ spirit, has gone through the journey, what hurdles he had to do. And there's for every spirit, there is a background story. And for every beer, there is a history. That is when I basically started, the intrigue started. Yeah, that's when the intrigue started.
But what is your background in this? You know, like, are you like a Breaking Bad kind of guy who was just damn good at chemistry and said,
not
you know, I'm just going to do this, or
not
like that. I said, there was no YouTube and all in those days. So where did you learn all this?
Or were you so broke that you had to start making your own beer in Australia?
Not that also. I was very well off with my background in computer sciences. I was an SAP consultant for 8 years running. And I was always, I mean, even now I'm a guy who is happy to go out and have a drink in a pub. I never shy off from that. How it started when I recently got married and my wife came over to Australia. My team of fellow Australians, they took both of us to a microbrewery. Until then, I did not know about microbrewery. That was in, I think, 2008. And first drink I had was a chili beer. I never had any chili beer before. I never even heard of chili beer. It was made with green chilies. And that caught my attention. And I thought, you know what? I mean, if they can make chili beer, I can make whatever, coriander beer or any beer. That's how the inquisitiveness and the curiosity started. So my first microbrewed beer, officially, I mean, I will say, it's chili beer.
It's a great coincidence because you're from Andhra, the place for chilies, and I think it was like one of those moments in movies that you have like a perfect song.
Yeah. The reason why I chose chili beer was for the same thing. I'm from Hyderabad. And they actually told, buddy, this is hot, very hot. And I'm happy to have hot beer because, you know, every other food was bland. I started by reading a couple of books. Joy of Home Brewing was one of them. And you just experimented because making beer at a home level, I feel it doesn't require super knowledge of chemistry. At the end of the day, beer is basically fermenting.
So, like you said, like there's not too much of chemistry involved. It's more like a recipe which needs to be fine-tuned. It's like how to make a rasam, but to get that right taste, the right balance of flavors and stuff. But How did you start getting into it? I mean, are raw materials easy to get to brew a beer?
Over there in Australia, you get homebrew kits. You go to a supermarket, you get homebrew kits. My first homebrew kit was Cooper's homebrew kit. It was about $12 or so.
So what does the kit consist of?
It is not a malt kit. It's not a grain kit. They give you a syrup. It's called extract. So you have a syrup and you have some instructions. All you need to do is, and some hops. We'll get into that later on. And some other aromatics that are required in the beer. All you need to do is take a pot, pour some water, squeeze the extract, put some aromatics and hops, boil it, and then you also have the yeast, obviously, in the kit. And then you put it in a bottle and ferment it. Not bottle, actually. It's in a small can, water can.
Wow, they make it really easy.
So that was my first brewing experience. From there, I mean, it came out really... I mean, beer was not that great, to be honest. First beer. much easier to go to a pub and grab a drink. However, there was a South African friend who was, my colleague, who was actually making some homebrew beers. So he helped me out. He said, no, don't use this extract kit. You need to go into the grains. That is where the real flavor comes from. So then I visited a few brew shops. There are brew shops, by the way, home brewing shops there. So you can go to the shop, you can look for anything, and then you can just buy in small quantities, like a grocery shop, brewing shop. And then you just come home and do it. They even have a mill there. I mean, you don't even need to have a mill in the home. They mill it for you. And then you just get the bag and then you start your brewing.
Yeah, but in that case, in India, we've got a mill every corner.
But I think in India, it's more about a legality angle of it. I don't think home brewing is legal, at least for a commercial point of view. And there's a lot of red tape around it in terms of how many liters you can brew at home. It cannot be for sale.
As far as I know, whatever liquor, alcohol that you make should be licensed.
Oh, okay. So even beer.
Yeah, it's alcohol.
So what about my mom's wine, which she makes, which is like the best wine in the world?
Again, when you talk about legality, it is not. But
my mom could be a criminal.
Auntie.
You'll have a lot of red tape here, as you know, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, one is the legality. So it's all legal back in Australia and you had these homebrew kits and then you went on to the grain level.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you move from a hobbyist to taking it more seriously, where you started liking the beers that you're making and you wanted to spread the joy and get more people to try it?
Be perfectly honest, I think 2008 is when I first tasted. 2008 was in Perth. We were in Perth. We went to Perth Microbrewery. Then we moved back to Melbourne, which is the East Coast. Melbourne is amazing. You have more microbreweries than obviously in Perth. So I started visiting. I think it was a Christmas night when we were getting smashed. And there was a couple of guys in my Southern Region director. He was interested in opening up a microbrewery. And I also was actually interested in such sort of venture because, okay, very well paid SAP jobs. But again, the passion was, manage your own business, not 9-to-6 job. It gets over a period of time over there, especially you wake up, you sit in the metro, you go, you come back, sit in the metro and come home. Done. Day done. 5 days and Friday night, pub, come back home. Weekend is shopping, cleaning and you're done. The next day, Monday comes. It kind of got monotonous. So I was always exploring the possibility of opening some business. My initial thought was I wanted to open a nice liquor store. But since these guys were interested in opening up a microbrewery, that is how this all started.
So, I understand that you started your microbrewing and I think Sid asked you this, but for me, the defining moment... I feel like when you went from home brewer to master brewer is when you have the friends like us, who say, honey, what did you brew? And, let me have a case of it. So when did that mastery happen for you? How long did it take from?
It never occurred.
Oh, it didn't?
It never happened that way. For me, I was always a little bit more logical in the sense I'm a numbers guy. So business made sense. I saw profits in this business. So yes, I was a home brewer, but I was not a master brewer by any means. And I'm a little bit lazy. Saturday morning, a brew day, I'll go have a beer in a pub. But interest was always there. So interest was there and the numbers worked. That was the reason why I came into the business.
Now, that was your story in Australia, but you managed to take all what you learned there, whether it was the business, whether it was whatever you learned in your, you know, your microbrewing, which you did at home, and you decided to come back to India. Now, what made you decide to come back to India? Because India is the last place I'd ever think about, you know, brewing, because back in the days, there was no microbrewery here. You know, it's only after 2011 or 2012 that it all started, and then the scene just exploded with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think that was a logical, you know,
move.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
The reason for coming to India was entirely family. My dad never wanted me to stay back in Australia. That's it. Me and my dad actually scouted a few places in Melbourne to open microbrewery. We did that too back then. But he never wanted me to be there. And he said, if you want to do it here, why don't we do it here? Because your brother is also there. You both can do it.
Wow, that's a very supportive dad. If I went to my dad and said, Dad, I want to open a microbrewery, he'd slipper me.
He found a means to get me back from Australia to India. That's the real reason. That's the means. He knew that I would not come and work here. I told him, I can't work in India. It was not just, okay, one first is my dad and my family, they wanted me to come back. That is one reason. Second, I actually went through the statistics. Whether, I did not know about the problems or anything, but the statistics and the growth rates and the demographic, and I have gone through all those. And I felt that microbrewery would be a niche business, I thought. It would be a niche business and you can control your recipes. And if you are happy with your beers and if you can give good beers, then yes, absolutely. I think you will be doing well. That's what I thought.
And I can't thank you enough for, you know, coming back and starting all these breweries over here in Bangalore and making our life.
Microbrewery scene in Bangalore has exploded since 2015. Or so. I mean, we started our business, setting up our business in 2012. So the actual construction and all the way. 2014 is when we opened up. I think for the first 2 years, only 10 breweries were there. I think we were seventh. But after that, 2016 onwards, 17 onwards, it just exploded.
Yeah, to talk more about microbrewing, how to run the microbrewing business in India, more importantly, as well as what goes into getting a good beer out and what makes a good beer, we'll take a quick break and come back.
Every day, whether you're running, taking a walk, traveling, stuck in traffic, or just doing nothing. Tune into the Odd Couple podcast for great company every fortnight on your favorite podcast network, a Pandemia Inc. production.
So welcome back to the Odd Couple podcast. We are with Pani Reddy talking about brewing, microbrewing, what goes into making a good beer. And that's my next question to you, Pani. What makes a good beer? I mean, we get, like, there are beers out of the bottle that we used to drink. Then there are microbreweries which came in. Then there are special thing which comes with different flavors. Apart from all of that, keeping that aside, it is a two-part question. What makes a good beer and how do you make it?
Right. Okay, I'll answer this question because I don't want to go into too technical at the moment. So I'll answer this in a simple, by giving you a simple analogy. Let's say you're making a mutton curry. You need mutton, which is of good quality. Then you need good spices. Then you need a good thick cast iron vessel or something. If think about this as if you don't have a proper cookware, then you will definitely not get the same taste. Again, produce is not great. You'll not get the same great taste. Also, finally, cook. The guy or girl who cooks it is also should be of a very good high caliber in cooking. So it's the same thing happens with beer. You need good equipment. You need proper ingredients, good quality ingredients, a very good brewer. And every equipment has got small changes here and there. Not all equipment are the same. So a brewer who comes in will need some time to get used to the equipment. I mean, like sometimes you have a different pressure cooker and you go 4 whistles and the meat is overcooked or undercooked. So you need at least 6 months of time for a brewer to get used to the recipes and the equipment and all that. And then you can get the beer done. So yeah, four ingredients is four things are equipment, good quality ingredients, brewer, and a little bit time.
And what goes in, what are the ingredients? Now, let's say equipment, you can buy the best equipment. You can put money. Produce, you can try and get, a brewer obviously is very well qualified, has done a lot of it and gone through the trials and things. Yeah. But what goes into a beer? Okay. Because all of us are used to drinking beer. And we're like, oh, it's made of barley. Then we see wheat beer. Then, as you said, some chili beer. But what goes into it? What are the main components and what are the flavoring components?
Simple. Malt, which is grain. Brewing terminology, it's malt. Malt means a little germinated grain. Okay. So they allow the grain.
This grain is wheat, corn.
What? It could be wheat. Okay. It could be barley. Okay. It could be hops. So these are the things that a lot of people don't know. Hops are plants. It's like a tea. It's some sort of plant. One sort of plant. It's called hops. Water and yeast. That's it. Just four ingredients. Yeah. That's what we do in microbreweries. We use only four ingredients. And you have flavor. Like in, you want to put in chili, you can put in chili infusions. Different infusion, like lavender. So I have seen a few breweries doing lavender ales and all that, lavender beers. Yeah. They infuse lavender tea into the liquid.
Now, Pani, you mentioned ale. Now, there are different types of beers. Now, every time we go to the your microbrewery or whatever, we'll always see over there, you know, we'll have an ale, a stout, a pilsner. Most of the time, we don't know, but we act like we know what we're doing. So, you know, so if you could throw a little bit light on what the difference is between all of this and, you know, so next time I order, I'll know what I'm ordering.
Right. These are the styles of beers, we say.
The process is the same for making all of them?
Most of it is the same. Nowadays, the process is almost the same. In, let's say, about two decades ago or so, lager was a little bit different to ale back in those days. Because it's a little bit technical. It was. But now the gap has blurred in making process. Basically, lagering is storing. Conditioning and maturing a beer is basically lagering is called that. It's maturing, storing. For example, you make a beer, you store it for 10 days. That's lagering. What happens with lagering is flavors mellow down. It's like scotch. Why do they age for 18 years? Flavors all come together and the more they age, the better it is. Not in the case of beer, by the way. Beer, you don't need aging. I mean, there are aged beers. Normally, beer should be fresh. You make beer today, it goes through the process of fermentation. Then you have a little bit of maturation, which is lagering. And then it goes out to serving. Ale. Technically speaking, ale is top fermented. Yeah. Lager is bottom fermented. But again, this is too technical. I don't think, you need to read a book.
So basically, it's like crude oil and it's a kind of different extracts that you keep getting depending upon the fermentation level and the... Or the process that goes through.
It's a process. Yeah. It's not different levels or anything. Yeah. It's a process.
But the flavor profiles are different.
Different because the ingredients change. Chettinadu mutton is different from Telangana mutton. Why?
Correct.
Spices change. Cooking method changes. Mm-hmm. Over here in beers, the making process slightly changes. But... It all comes down to the grain, the ingredients.
But what about the alcohol content in all of these?
Yes, again, it is up to the brewer. There are beer guidelines. I don't even remember because I don't follow them. It's my beer. I'll make as per my taste. That is my philosophy. But there are beer guidelines. Say, for example, stout. It is a certain style of beer. Ales, in ales, there are a lot of ales. Huge variety of ales. Again, they have named these and then they have put some guidelines and then they say, you get this flavor profile, it's called a stout. You get this flavor profile, it's called red ale or amber ale or porter. Alcohol content, again, depends on your recipe. Generally speaking, lager, wheat beer, let's say Hefeweizen is a German-style wheat beer. Belgian wheat is a Belgium-style wheat beer. They all have alcohol anywhere about between 4.5 to 5.5% ABV, alcohol by volume. Ales are also similar. There are strong ales. They can go a little higher to 6.5%, 7%. Legally, in Bangalore, we are not supposed to cross 8% ABV. So we are limited. However, if you cross that 8%, there are another style of beers where you can go to 12%. They are almost Trappist style beers. One very important point that I want to say, that a lot of people think that alcohol is just to get high. No, alcohol is ingredient of beer. I look at it that way. Alcohol is carrier of flavor. Okay, what is a fragrance? Fragrance has alcohol. Why do they put alcohol in fragrance? Because it carries the aroma.
Enhances it.
Same with beer. Alcohol is a carrier of flavor.
So then the more alcohol, the better the flavor.
Yes, I mean, I made beer Weizenbock, which is a crowd favorite. It's 8%. People love it.
Right. I still remember in China when I was in Beijing and we had gone to this microbrewery. Unlike in India, where I've seen, okay, 8 different type of beers are offered. Over there, there was some 40, 50. I couldn't read that board completely. Yeah. It was like one railway yeah. station, number of trains yeah. coming in. It was like that. So you have no clue which one to choose. And then obviously you ask the person at the counter saying, okay, what would you suggest and stuff. So I saw some pomegranate beer. I saw some watermelon, some stuff which I didn't understand. But he had suggested one which had won some awards, right? And it was this one of the strongest beer that they had.
Yeah.
I don't know what is the percentage. So, but when I had it, all I could taste is the flavors, as you said.
Yes.
And alcohol was the last thing that ever came to my mind. Obviously, it hits you a little later.
Yeah.
But it's not like drinking whiskey where the first hit you get is alcohol.
Yeah.
This is so well done by the brewmaster.
Yes.
It was such an enjoyable experience. I mean, it is just a revelation.
It comes down to the recipe. Think about this as alcohol washes the mouth. If you have a low body and high alcohol, then you will taste the alcohol. The body of the beer is how it feels in your mouth. But if the recipe is designed in such a way that the mouthfeel is strong as well as the alcohol is there, then it's a marriage of flavors, basically. It all comes down to recipe, how you design the recipe.
I have one question over here. How strong does a beer need to be for it to be stopped calling it a beer anymore? Is there a limit?
No. I mean, there was one beer, I think it was, I can't remember, but I think it was 50-60% alcohol also. Generally, I would say a sweet spot of a decent, I mean, have you heard of this called drinkability? How many mugs can you drink? Again, we think about that also when designing the beer.
Of course, it's a business and he's a numbers guy.
For a beer to have a nice drinkability, sweet spot is between 4.5 and 5.5 ABV. If you want to have a beer with the high alcohol, then I think between 8 to 12 is decent. But anything more will be too much, I think.
Drinkability goes down. Yeah.
I want to get into the whole business angle. Yeah, like what you said, you know, the demographic was good. You know, the numbers were good. You saw a niche. But how feasible was it to come down and work with our Indian red tape and everything?
Initially, we never want... I mean, I'm from Hyderabad. My entire family is from Hyderabad. I don't have any relatives also here in Bangalore. But we came to Bangalore because licenses were available here in Bangalore and in Pune and in Gurgaon back in those days. Hyderabad did not have the licensing, but it's very, very tough, painstaking. It is not professional. You just can't go and get it done. You know the drill. You know how it is. I mean...
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's also capital intensive.
Yeah, because I remember back in 2011, I had taken a sabbatical, 2012 probably. I had taken a sabbatical from Star TV. I was with Channel V. I said, that's it. I'm going to start my microbrewing. I had no clue about how to brew a beer, nothing, because there's no background over here.
Yeah.
But when I started writing the business plan and going and doing in-depth analysis, that was around when 11-12 is when Bangalore started giving away microbrewing license.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, the capital expense is ridiculous. What I realized was I needed about 3 to 4 crores to buy equipment. Now, I'm not a brewmaster. If I have to go study brewing, it is an expensive course because there's no culture, there's no community in India where you go and it's... Now, right now, there's a nice community where you can try and go and experiment with them. But capital into 3.5-4 crores to set up a brewery which has no history or business history of success was just, that didn't make sense to me. But I'm glad that you guys started and actually went for it, and it's doing so well.
We thought, including the microbrewery, is only beer when selling license. There is, if you want to have alcohol, which is, let's say, whiskey, or there is another license which is called CL9. Or a few other licenses. So you got to get that too. And that itself is about more than two and a half crores.
Oh yeah, I was talking only setup, not license.
Okay. Yeah, it costs, yes, you're right. You are right. Costs anywhere between only those, yeah, 4 crores is sure. But you want to establish a business. Let's say you go to any microbrewery in Bangalore. I would say they have spent 10 crores. I would say...
It's easier to put that in the bank and then just live off of it.
That's what I think now.
Yeah.
Put it in the bank, chill, get a driver and roam around and then have the beers, because there are a lot of microbreweries. I can just go and have
a beer. Now you started the culture, now you can live off.
But true, it is very capitalist.
So which was your first brewery which you opened here in Bangalore?
Three Monkeys.
The Three Monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's me, mine.
Damn it, I didn't even know you owned that one. And I brought you onto the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I've heard that life of a restaurateur or a brewer is similar to the life of a hermit, yeah, or a sage, because you wake up early in the morning, you're working. Your 9-to-5 job, which you had, which you found boring, suddenly feels better, yes, right? So how was the shift between a 9-to-5 job to becoming a restaurateur? Even though you're passionate about it, the hours are not as rosy as people think.
First 3 years, I enjoyed it a lot. I never complained. Honestly, zero complaint. I'm not early morning, but 8:30 or so, 9 o'clock day starts, and it ends only at 1 p.m. 1:30 p.m. with few glasses of beer. That's it. Was my day. I started complaining when there was one rule. I don't know if you know the highway.
Oh,
road.
Yes.
Which I had to suffer. Old Madras Road was highway, apparently. They even shut down Oberoi.
True.
Liquor was not available in Oberoi and Church Street.
Okay, I have to tell you a story. You talk about this highway rule. I went to Andaman, Nicobar Islands. Went to Havelock Island. How big is it? Like 5 square kilometers? Yeah. And there is one main highway which runs through the center of the island.
And they shut it down.
Can't get liquor anywhere.
Yes. That's when I flipped. I swear to God, that's when I flipped. I started questioning the entire system. Until then, I never questioned anything. And it piled up. I thought, what's the point? But that was a very bad time. And a lot of people, my dad say, think of it as a natural calamity.
Dads are the best.
COVID is natural calamity. I'll agree. He says, think of it as a natural calamity. The highway issue. Old Madras Road, you can't go from one signal to another signal, set of lights. It will take at least 10 or 15 minutes just to cross. And that's highway.
But you know, you talked about COVID. I'm sure that was another big beating for COVID. All of you.
Oh my God. COVID, entire industry suffered a lot. Breweries suffered a lot. We all suffered a lot. All the owners suffered a lot. We lost a lot of money. Small hotels and all that are out of the picture. Big hotels were also gone. I mean, COVID really is a natural disaster. It wrecked us, our business.
And now your latest project?
After Three Monkeys, I have helped my friend set up Brooks and Bonds. That's in Koramangala. And I was always good friends with the Float and Wanderers. As an owner brewer, I have a lot of in-depth analysis, so I keep sharing it with them. These are the 4 ones that I am associated.
I have one last question, Pani. What should I look for a good beer? Because I've got a lot of microbreweries who make bad beers, right? When I go there, there's something off, and there's certain beer places, like for example, Toit. They've been quite consistent in the kind of beers that they give. Yes. They don't experiment too much. I can still go today and order a Tintin and I'll get a good Tintin, right?
So consistency is very important, and Toit has done it really well. What to look for in a good beer, again, I will give you a generalized perspective, because again, a lot of beers have a lot of different things that you look for. A beer should be bright. It should not be cloudy. If you put a light on your glass, through a glass, it should be almost translucent. Okay, it should not be opaque. And head retention should be good. The foam on the top is actually really good. I want to tell all your viewers, foam is good. Head on the top of the beer is good. we have a tendency to not to have the foam and drink. A good foam, good head is one of the good characters.
So while I'm pouring a glass of beer, the aim is to have a good head and not to pour a glass of beer without any head.
Without any head is very bad. Yeah, very bad.
So what's the future again for Bangalore and the microbreweries? Do you see a good scene happening? Do you see the red tape all coming down?
I don't see red tape coming down anytime soon. Not at all. I don't think that will ever happen. But I think we have come to almost a saturation point. Because every locality has got microbreweries now. So I feel maybe another 20% growth, I think, will be there. Not a lot of breweries in Yelahanka. I think that is a place where I can expect few breweries.
So if any of you guys are listening from the Yelahanka part of Bangalore, there is opportunity.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So open a microbrewery and please invite us. We'll be happy to come there and bless your new establishment. So thank you so much for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. And thank you so much, Pani, for enlightening us about beers, what goes into it. I didn't know it was just made with four items. It was just ridiculous. It seems like far more complicated, and I'm sure it is far more complicated. So thank you for coming in and explaining all these things to us, and all the very best for your future endeavors.
Thank you.
And I think we should go have a beer.
Yes, definitely.
Never mind.
Yes. All right, guys. See you. Yeah. Bye-bye.